Spirit FM Catholic Radio KVSS. Good morning and welcome to Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor.
Joined again today by our, well, he affectionately is known as the Bible Geek, talking about Mark Hart, of course, former Teen Corps member, youth minister in Life Teen, and now proudly serving as vice president of Life Teen. Graduate of Notre Dame, author of three books. Mark's creative work in video and written resources are known internationally. Trotting the globe, leading conferences, retreats, missions, and trainings for teens and adults alike. We are glad to have him here for his Bible Geek program, Man on the Mission, echoing the good news to all he meets. And Mark, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me back.
How is the Blessed of the Board in Spirit?
Actually, it's very exciting. I just got a really nice email from the folks at Servant, mm-hmm. saying that they're already in their second printing, and they think it's on their way to Catholic bestseller, whatever that means.
That means a lot of Catholics and non-Catholics are buying it,
And that's a good thing.
And then hopefully that's a good thing. I hope some people are being blessed by it. It was so humbling last week. I had a very very holy Monsignor who I just adore. It was very humbling. He came over and told me that it was his favorite. It was his favorite piece of spiritual reading in the last 5 years. And I said,
"Wow!
What was it before that?" He said, "Saint Augustine." I said, "Well, I felt good company."
Well, that's some rarefied air, there, buddy.
You just go home after that. You can't top that in the course of a day.
So you'll have to tell your mother that story.
You know what? I probably will, because I come from a family of six kids. So you always have to vie for mom's affection.
That's mm-hmm. right. Look that's what it. I did today, Mom.
Hey, Mom, a Monsignor said my book was good.
Yeah, I'm on the Catholic bestsellers.
Well,
and deservedly so, because it is an absolutely beautiful book.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. I was really saddened to see that Da Vinci Code was on the bestseller list for religious books and on one listing, and I had to just grit my teeth and for religious books, not for fiction. Can you believe it?
Unbelievable. Yeah. But unfortunately, we can believe
Well,
that.
We have you to straighten it all out, and we've had just such a great response from having you on. I mean, people are grabbing me now where I'm at church, or I'm out shopping, or I'm doing something where I'm running into people, and they're going, "Now, when's that nice boy Mark Hart going to be back on again?"
Is that why they're grabbing you?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. All I mean, right. Yes.
That nice boy. Well, if
I know, and I said, "Well, he is a dad, and he's a dad and a husband." But yeah, compared to us, I guess he is.
Young and young at heart. God loves us all.
Yes, thank you.
Well, hey everyone, not to spoil our inner fun, but the audience would appreciate a show. How about that?
Okay.
All right, and we've been soliciting questions, and we do invite you, by the way, if you have a question that you'd like our Bible Geek to answer. To email that to us, spiritmornings@kvss.com. We will take your biblical question and pass it along to Mark.
Yes, or and be sure to visit the website.
Absolutely.
BibleGeek.com.
All right. Here is our first question, and this one is from Anthony.
Sometimes it gets really hard for me to deal with ridicule from classmates and others. It's really hard to be Catholic.
Wow.
Wow, I was right. You know... Boy, I sure wish there was an easy answer to that. You know, in the Gospel of John, Jesus told us, in your life you will have trouble. Mm-hmm. He didn't say you might have trouble. He didn't say it's going to rain from time to time. He said you will. It's an absolute certainty.
Yep.
That's right.
And one of the things that we hear often from some of our non-Catholic brothers and sisters is, why do we have a body on the cross? Mm. Yeah. You know, it's about the resurrection, not the crucifixion. And what we've talked about before, and what we've constantly tried to proclaim to people, if we're doing it right in our Catholic faith, is that, yes, we absolutely believe in the resurrection, we absolutely believe in the risen Christ, but we cannot lose sight of the fact that to get to Easter Sunday, you have to go through Good Friday. And to get to the resurrection and the ascension, you have to go through the crucifixion. You have to go through the thorns, you know, to get to the rose.
Yeah.
And honestly... I wish people would have said to me a long time ago, when I really made the decision to follow Christ myself, I wish someone would have said to me how hard it would be. I wish someone would have told me, you know what? Here's the thing. You're going to decide to completely go against the stream of everybody in your life, people in your own family, a lot of the people that you've held on to as friends for a lot of years. You're pretty much going to fly in the face of them. You're going to go against the stream. You're going to live a life that is so contrary that people don't know what to do with you. They don't know how to label you. They don't know how to deal with you. They don't know how to talk to you. At times, they're just going to shun you. They're going to judge you. They're going to try and pull you down. Literally, you're going to live a life that's so countercultural that at times, the presence of Jesus is so thick that when you cannot even inhale and not feel him, and at times, it's going to seem as though he is as distant from you as the stars of the sky, even though he's not. Mm-hmm. And honestly, and the cost of all this is going to be your sanity on some days. It might be financial. It could be your very soul, the cost of this. And it's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done, and it's going to be harder each day, but it's going to be more grace each day, and more of a blessing each day, and more of a reward each day, and heaven is worth it. And do you want to do this? And I wish someone had just been really, really honest with me, you know, when I was in my youth group a long time ago, that explained to me how hard it is when he says, pick up your cross and follow me, how hard that is. And I wish someone would have, and honestly, that's just a reality. That is the beautiful paradox that is the cross. That's why St. Paul says it's foolishness in the eyes of the world. And we can't forget, you know, if we go to John 15 and Jesus says, if the world hates you, remember they hated me first. Mm-hmm. If you go to Mark 5, there's a beautiful scene in Mark 5, and it's verse 40, and it says, they laughed at him. They laughed at him. Mm-hmm. You know, and you think of him on the cross, you think of our Lord on the cross, people sneering and spitting and cussing, and you just kind of say, you want to shake your head and say, why does it have to be so hard? And honestly, I think that the simplest response is that love is never easy. Mm-hmm. If it's easy, it ain't love.
That's right.
Yeah,
and that is why, that's why we're born into a family, and not just our physical family at home, but a family of believers, that the brothers and sisters, we're supposed to be picking each other up. And that's the beauty of liturgy. That's the beauty of the Mass. If we really are understanding what we're entering into at Mass, the beauty of the Mass is that you're there in the pews with your brothers and sisters, and someone who just lost a husband of 50 years is standing next to a couple who's baptizing their baby, standing next to a couple of someone who's struggling with cancer, for instance, standing next to somebody who is fresh out of college and has a new job and is eyeing the future, next to someone who's discerning their vocation, and that's the beauty, that the totality of the human experience all coming together in God's house at different stages of life, different ups and different downs, different summits and different plummets, and we're all together. And we're all there at the foot of Jesus and at the foot of the cross, and really at the foot of the altar, and that's where, you know, heaven kisses earth. And yeah, it is hard. It's really, really hard. And if we ever feel as though it's just too hard, I really encourage people to read the Psalms.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. And I mean, Mark, it does seem at times, and quite often, you don't need to watch too much television, listen to too much news, or whatever. To find the Catholic Church and its teachings somehow found in ridicule or disdain by the popular culture. And I think all of us individually as Catholics have all experienced some point of discrimination. I'm sure, I know I can recount many times in my life where I've been called on the carpet for being Catholic.
Absolutely. And, you know, and not in any way to bash any other denomination, but no denomination speaks out as forcefully for life mm-hmm. as we do. No one speaks out as forcefully, really, for ecumenism, for reaching out to other faiths as we do, and really, quite honestly, no one really has the ability or the willingness to speak out against all horrors, not just abortion, but all horrors of child abuse, like mm-hmm. contraception. And I mean, we really are echoing the words of John Paul II when he says, "Let us be a church that requires much after having given much."
Yeah.
And I really believe that for those of us who are really all leaning in together and trying to live the fullness of the Catholic life, that I take great joy and I take great solace in the fact of knowing that there are other people that are living it with me. And that's one of the beauties of the internet. It's one of the beauties of communications and technology, even radio. Yeah. That's one of the beauties of it is that it can bring to life and it can connect our individual faith journeys and our individual existence into more of a communal one. And that's what Catholic means. It's universal. That we realize, even out in the maybe out in the middle of nowhere, maybe in a car in traffic, maybe at the office, we can take comfort in the fact that we are not alone. Even if in our own homes or in our own neighborhoods or in our own schools or offices, we might feel alone and subjugated for our Catholic faith, that we're not alone, that we are living this together.
Yeah, you know, Mark, it was just a very short time ago, Rosie O'Donnell made a comment that was just so shocking to me, that she equated radical Islam with, and she termed it radical Christianity, and that somehow they were equally, in her mind, evil. And it stuns me, because just listening to what you're saying, it reminds me that a radical Christianity, and in particular even radical Catholic Christianity, is something where you embrace the cross. It's not about killing or murder, to be able to achieve an end, but it is about dying on a cross. And if you want to see a radical Catholic Christian, you look at Mother Teresa, and you look at Dorothy Day, and you look at, you know, a Maximilian Kolbe. That's radical Christianity.
Absolutely, and always draped in love.
Absolutely.
And that is what, when people throw out those words, I think you're absolutely right, like radical Christianity or fanatical Christianity. Mm-hmm. What they're usually depicting is someone who is you know, acting, you know, but not necessarily acting out of love,
mm-hmm. right?
Acting out of condemnation or acting out of judgment. You know, and honestly, I think if we were to look, everyone used Mother Teresa, you know, Dorothy Day, John Paul II. I mean,
oh, yeah.
For him to get off a plane and stand toe to toe with the world's leaders, you know, and to look them right in the eye and say, "You must respect life."
Right.
You know, and I mean, the things that he did and the things that he said, and Pope Benedict XVI is no different. I was just reading how saddened he is that the world's news agencies keep misquoting him.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, he's too deep. He's too deep for a soundbite technology. You know, for a soundbite culture. Mm-hmm. You know, that people don't want to actually. They don't actually want to sit down and pour through Deus Caritas Est and really read it in a light of prayer and humility. They just want to. They want to glean through it and find one phrase that they can take out of context to paint mm-hmm. a different picture.
Yeah, and to a certain extent too. I mean, our Holy Father is being met with that, with a comment that he made in a. You know, a talk that he was giving on Islam and Muslims being taken totally out of context, and now all of a sudden it's the Muslims are up in arms against the Pope.
You know, absolutely. You know what's amazing?
Wow.
You know what's amazing? You'll appreciate this, obviously, being in Nebraska. You have people that in 20-degree weather will strip down to just shorts or a swimsuit, will paint their body in bright red.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll stand outside for, you know, 4 and 5 and 8 and 10 hours with tailgating in the freezing bitter cold with red body paint, basically suffocating the pores and suffocating any oxygen out of their system.
Right.
And that person's called a fan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if I stand up in my work, in my secular workplace, for instance, and I don't work in secular workplace, but if I did next to a water cooler and I proclaimed the gospel of life, and I shared my belief that life is sacred and abortion is morally wrong, Or if I do that, I'm a fanatic.
Yeah.
Now, it's a beautiful distinction. I mean, how many times have we? I remember as a kid, I would on Ash Wednesday, I would be tempted to wipe them off my head because I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
You know, and how many times do we feel as though we really do, like the majority? You know, we are the majority denomination, over a billion in the world, but how many times does that majority feel like the minority? And that's not necessarily because of other denominations. That's normally because of other brothers and sisters who are baptized Catholic who are too fearful to really try and embrace the life or pray through their issues.
Right.
That's right.
Well, we need to pray for all of us, don't
Absolutely.
We?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Mark, how about if we get on to our next question?
Let's do it.
All right. This one comes to us from Irene.
What does INRI stand for, and what does it mean?
Uh-huh.
What does INRI stand for? Well, you know, you should have to forgive me, because I don't speak Latin, and I butcher it whenever I try.
Okay.
I try anyway.
Just say it fast.
It stands for Iesus Nazarenus Rex Iudaeorum.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. Close to that. It's the Latin phrase. INRI is the abbreviation, the abbreviated Latin phrase. Each letter stands for one word. And it's the Latin phrase of Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And basically, we abbreviate it for a number of reasons. Number one, abbreviations are popular.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're a lot easier. Number two, if we had to write that whole phrase out, all those little crucifixes on the walls would not fit.
On my rosary, it wouldn't work. It would be very difficult.
but actually, if you go back to the Gospel of John specifically, 19:19, it says that Pontius Pilate ordered the inscription to be written and placed over his head, and it was actually written in all three languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, and because those are the three most popular languages in the ancient world.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting, though, is that over history, over time, I think we've become so accustomed to seeing different symbols, like whether it's the INRI, whether it's the Cairo, you know, it looks like a long P with an X over it,
yes. Mm-hmm.
and IHS and things like that. When we see the different abbreviations, acronyms, you know, Latin, you know, Greek, whatever they are, we'll be amassed and we'll proclaim Miserere Nobis or something. And a lot of times for a new generation of Catholics, you know, for the post-Vatican II generation of Catholics, definitely my generation, it's amazing that I'll watch my friends in mass, and I used to be the same way. I would say Miserere Nobis, but I had no idea what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would kneel before an altar, and I would see the Cairo, or I'd see the IHS or the INRI. I had no idea what they meant. It wasn't until I actually opened a book, and it actually brought on a very profound meaning. But what's interesting is that hasn't really necessarily transcended down and been passed down in the generations.
Right.
I mean, we've become so accustomed to iconography, so accustomed to symbolism, that we haven't actually often passed down the significance of it. And when you really pray on that, it's pretty powerful. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's pretty powerful on several levels. You can look at the INRI, and if you see that and you say, this is the king, this is what it means to be a king. I mean, like, if you're truly a king in the eyes of God, this is what it's going to look like in the eyes of the world. It's
mm-hmm.
going to be a corpus. You know, that your crown is not going to be made of gold. It's going to be made of thorns. And this is really along the lines of what we were just talking about. It is hard, you know, that your throne is going to be wood, not gold.
Right.
You know, in the world, at this time, in this moment, you know. And I think one of the things that always hits me was that, you know, the sign over his body proclaimed who he was, said, you know, Jesus, King of the Jews. But it was the body that he gave in sacrifice and in love and in mercy and in forgiveness, the body. The mangled, bloody body, corpus underneath that sign proclaimed whose he was.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we move through our world and we have our fish bumper stickers and we listen to our Christian or Catholic radio.
Mm-hmm.
We have our bulletins from church. We go to church. You know, people know that we go to church in our offices, in our homes. A lot of times people know us. If someone says, what's the denomination? Oh, I'm Catholic. And that says who we are. But really, it's the moments of mercy. It's the moments of patience in traffic. It's the moments of hospitality at Mass. They're the moments of love, you know, whether it's in the aisle of a grocery store or on the phone with that one family member who just makes you want to pull your hair out.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the moments that proclaim whose we are. It's not just in those pious examples of our faith, and it's not just in those ritualistic or communal moments of our faith that proclaim who we are. Oh, I'm Catholic, that's why I go to Mass. But it's the getting up early and getting there early and putting ourselves in the right place for God to touch our life and for reaching out across the aisles and introducing ourselves to those new families. Those are the moments that say whose we are. You know, being at Mass, you know, says we're Catholic, you know, but really embracing the liturgy, embracing our brothers and sisters around us, that says whose we are. That says that we're a little Christ. And I think that sometimes I get caught up in it. I know that there are several times when I go into church and I really have to stop and push myself to really think about the significance when I put my hands in the holy water, make the sign of the cross, and not just fall into that habitual ritual.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a dangerous, it's a beautiful challenge. It's a wonderful challenge. But God is not going to measure us by you know, how many times we had our holy card punched. You know, when we're facing him face to face, you know, well, I've been Catholic for X amount of years. He's going to look at us and say, did you love like a Catholic?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Love like a Catholic was supposed to. And it's what we do with our bodies in word and in deed. Like St. Francis always says, you know, I preach, always says, I think he still says it today. Like St. Francis said,
sure.
You know, I preach the gospel and sometimes I use words.
Beautifully said. All out of that INRI.
Well, I wish that I could say that I used to have a really profound experience of that, but I went to parochial school like everybody else, and it wasn't until I was well out of high school, I think it was in high school, when I finally asked, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that was not the parochial school teacher's fault. That was my fault, because I was more interested in spitwads than I was in iconography.
I've heard you've got a pretty powerful spitwad ability there.
You would not believe it. I spent more time in detention in Catholic school. It was unbelievable.
And look how you turned out.
Yeah.
A God has a sense of humor. Psalm 2 says that God sits in heaven and laughs. I like to believe that.
And well, he must. Mark, before we're out of here, let's talk a little bit about the projects you have going with Ascension Press. Of course,
right.
T3 and...
T3, the Teen Timeline, it's very exciting. There are several youth groups now and Catholic high school classes. And actually, it's been great. It's been a great response from Catholic parents who have purchased the materials. There's a DVD set and a workbook, and we actually got several emails from Catholic families around the country who have chosen to do this sort of as a weekly ongoing Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
with their junior high and high school kids, and even some of their elementary school kids. 8 half-hour segments, so that's been wonderful. And the Theology of the Body for Teens is now out through Ascension Press,
mm-hmm.
Which we're really excited about. And actually, there's something new that we started doing at lifeteen.com not too long ago. kind of like Dr. Scott Hahn and different people will offer reflections on the Sunday readings.
Yes.
We actually, if people go to iTunes and they type in lifeteen.com, one word, lifeteen.com, or if they type in my name, that it will bring up, it's called the Sunday podcast. And it's about 5 or 6 minutes. I do it once a week, and it just it doesn't go as scholarly or quite as academic as Dr. Hahn. It really just more pulls out just some of the general themes in the reading to try and help people after they've read the Sunday readings to help them understand it in a practical application in their life, or they can listen to it first and then read the readings through that scope. But it's been wonderful. In the first 2 weeks we were out, we were number one in Christian podcasts and in Catholic podcasts every day.
Fantastic.
Just some really exciting stuff. It's totally free. If people don't have an iPod, they can listen to it on their computer in iTunes. But just, again, just through lifeteen.com, we're trying to do everything we can for young and the young at heart, for teens and parents and families, just anything we can to help the Mass come more to life in our life, help the richness of our Catholic tradition come more to life in our everyday life.
Well, we'll make sure to have a link for that on the special Mark Hart page that we have on KVSS.com.
Oh, goodness.
All right.
Because I just think that's fantastic.
Thank you.
You bet. Mark, thank you so much for sharing your gifts with us and our audience again today. We are truly appreciative, and we look forward to next week with another edition from Mark Hart, the Bible Geek.
God bless everything you all are doing.
Oh, and you too.